Morning, everyone. Today is November 16th. It is 10 a.m. We're going to call this meeting to order. You can all join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Item number three on today's agenda is discussion for possible action, consideration and possible approval of today's agenda. Is there any public comment regarding today's agenda? Go ahead, County Manager.
All right, thank you, Mr. Chairman. We would ask that we continue number 12. This is a waste management MOU to the December 7 commission meeting here at the courthouse and on Zoom.
All right. Is there any other public comment regarding today's agenda? As a reminder for folks on Zoom, you can use the chat feature, raise your hand feature, or star six to unmute yourself. Not seeing any public comment. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions regarding today's agenda?
No questions, thank you.
Let me just want to clarify, that's just comment on the comment.
Go ahead, Ms. Reba.
And I don't know if I'm making a public comment at the right time, but I am from the Department of Indigent Defense Services, and I am commenting on item number 13. We have reviewed Story County's plan, and we had the opportunity to work with Ms. Langer in putting it together. We have reviewed it. It does meet the standards, and if adopted as it's currently written, we will be recommending to our board that it be adopted. So I just wanted to give you that information, and if you have any questions, we are able to answer those.
Thank you, Marcy. Is there any other comment, public comment regarding today's agenda? Not seeing any. Vice Chairman, do you have anything?
No, thank you.
All right. With that said, would you provide a motion for us?
Yeah, I move to adopt today's agenda with the one change of continuing item number 12 to our December 7th meeting here at the courthouse and on Zoom.
Second.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion carries unanimously. Thank you. Moving on to item number four. This is for discussion and possible action. Consideration and possible approval of the minutes for October 5, 2021. Is there any public comment regarding the minutes for October 5, 2021? Not seeing any public comment. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any comments or questions about the minutes?
No question. Thank you.
Vice Chair?
No, thank you.
All right. Would you entertain a motion, please?
Yeah, I move to approve the minutes from the October 5th, 2021 meeting as presented.
Second.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Moving right along to item number five is today's consent agenda. Is there any public comment regarding today's consent agenda? Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions regarding today's consent agenda?
No, sure. Thank you.
Vice Chairman, anything?
No, thank you.
All right. Would you entertain a motion, please?
Yeah, I move to approve today's consent agenda as presented.
Second.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you. Moving right along to public comment. Public comment is slated for items not on today's agenda. And 3 minutes is allowed for those that would like to speak. Is there anybody that has any public comment today? We'll give it just a minute for folks online. Not seeing any takers for public comment, we will move on to item number seven, which is discussion only. No action, no public comment will be taken. These are committee and staff reports. And as we always do, we will start off with the Sheriff's Office.
Good morning, Commissioners. I have nothing for you today.
All right. Thank you, Sheriff. Moving right along to the Fire Department, Chief Longcar. You have anything for us?
I'll come in here and mention that.
Noted, thank you. Public Works, Jason Worsbicky.
Good morning, Chairman, Commissioners. Not a whole lot to report on this at this point in time, other than with the Gold Hill Sewer Plant being online, there are some items that we need for compliance and testing and things of that nature. And I've submitted that budget request form to Jennifer, and she has approved that. And then I've submitted it over to Austin for his approval. That total is roughly $16,495. It covers multiple different testing reagents and colorimeters and oxygen probes, things of that nature. That's about all I have. If you guys have any questions, feel free.
Thank you, Jason. Commissioner Gilman, anything for Jason?
I have no questions. Thank you.
Vice Chair?
No, thank you.
All right. Thanks again for that report, Jason. Moving on to Projects Coordinator, Mike Northan. Is Mike on there? All right. Moving on to Communications, Becky Parsons.
Hi, Becky Parsons for the record. The only thing I have is our new person has started on Monday, yesterday. And I think she's going to fit in just great here. That's all I got.
Thank you, Becky. Welcome to the new person there. It'll be interesting. I'm sure they got their job cut out for them. Yeah, we'll find out a name next time. Moving right along to Emergency Management, R. Mather.
Good morning. For the record, Laura Mather. First things first, all things that is COVID. For our latest numbers, this was what was reported as of last Thursday. We have 2 new cases and 4 recoveries. Thankfully, no new deaths. As this kind of progresses and as we move through this COVID pandemic, now that the boosters are coming out, now that vaccinations are available for children 5 and above, I just want to remind everybody, we are happy to answer any questions that anybody has on this, but gethealthycarsoncity.org, that's Carson City Health and Human Services. They have everything you could possibly want to know. The vaccinations, the boosters, the restrictions, who's eligible, information on the kiddos and all that stuff. So gethealthycarsoncity.org. Or the Quad County COVID hotline, which is 775-434-1988. And that is open Monday through Friday, 8:30 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. That line is closed from 12 p.m. to 1 p.m. And again, that's the COVID hotline. For our community project grant, the grant application period closed. We received 6 grants applications, 2 from each of the jurisdictions. The grant committee met for the first time and reviewed all of the grants. A couple of them we feel are good to go. We didn't have any additional questions. The others, we do have an additional questions, some clarifications, kind of some suggestions, those kind of things. So Honey Tapley and I will be working with these groups to get all that information, and then we will present it again to the committee for review and approval. And then I don't know if I will have all of that to the commission at the first December meeting, but definitely by the second meeting in December for your approval on those community project grant applications. And that's the end of my report.
Great, thank you. Commissioner Gilman, you have any questions for Laura?
No questions, thank you, Laura.
Vice Chair?
No, just glad that we got a response, and it was a little slow in coming.
Yeah, a couple really last minute, but we got them.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Moving right along to Community Relations, Honey Tapley.
Sorry, I have nothing to report
to. All right, thank you. The VCTC, Denny Dotson. All right. How about Water and Sewer, Mike Nevin? Comptroller's Office, Jennifer McCain.
Good morning. This is Jennifer McCain, Story County Comptroller. I have a couple things today. Our audit is going smoothly. We're nearing the end. Unfortunately, I won't have it in my hands in time to have it on the first meeting in December, but we are still within the timeline for your review and approval, the second meeting in December. As well, I'm very excited. I've gotten a first look at our transparency portal that's going on the website, and it's looking really good. I'm hoping the next meeting I'll be able to share that with everyone. That's all I have, unless you have any questions for me.
Thank you, Jennifer. Commissioner Gilman, do you have anything for Jennifer?
I do not, thank you.
Vice Chairman?
She said the audit was going smoothly. We're in trouble now.
Yep, indeed. All right, thank you, Jennifer.
Thank you.
All right. Moving on to the planning department, Kathy Canfield.
Nothing today except what's on the agenda.
All right, thank you, Kathy. How about the recorder's office, Marnie Hanson Martinez?
Good morning, Chairman. Nothing to report today.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
IT department, James Dean.
Good morning, Commissioners. James Dean, Story County IT Director. Just a quick update on the MOU that was approved with Community Chest last meeting. We're going to proceed with installing those microwave links, and we'll hope to get that project up and running before December. That's all I have.
Great. Thank you, James. Commissioner Gilman, do you have anything for James?
No, sir. Thank you.
Thanks, Chairman.
No, thanks.
All right. Thanks again, James. Human Resources, Toby.
Good morning. Thank you. Human Resources has nothing to report this time.
All right. How about Community Development? Pete Reneau.
Mr. Chairman, Pete asked me just to relay on his behalf. He's out at the moment. 145 building permits are active since August 1. He just wanted to let you know that. And there is quite an upswing in activity going on over the last couple months.
Great. Thank you. Community Chest, do we have Eric Schoen with us today? No. How about the Senior Center, Stacy York?
Good morning, Stacy York, for the record. I just wanted to let everybody know that we are partnered with St. Mary's Art Center again for our annual holiday art and craft shopping on the Comstock. It's going to be December 4th. From 10 to 4 and December 5th from 10 to 3. We also do have COVID vaccines and boosters at the Virginia City Senior Center, December 2nd, 3 to 5, and December 23rd, 3 to 5 as well. And that is all for today.
All right, thank you, Stacy. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for Stacy?
No, thank you, Stacy.
All right, Vice Chairman Mitchell.
No, thank you.
All right, thanks again for that report, Stacy. The Justice Court, Judge Harrington. I see her, but we will move on. How about the DA's office?
Nothing to report today, Mr. Chairman.
All right, thank you. Surely you have something. County Manager's office? Nothing?
One thing. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just to remind everyone, November 18th, this Thursday at 5:30 is our town hall at Piper's Opera House. There'll be a couple things discussed on water and sewer, just a little bit of an education session at a 100,000 foot level. Talk about tourism a little bit. Danny Dotson will be with us, and the rest is open topic.
All right. Thank you. Commissioner Gilman, you have anything for Austin?
I do not. Thank you.
Vice Chairman?
No, thank you.
All right. Last but not least, the county clerk. Nothing. Nobody has anything today.
Well, they all saw the size of the agenda.
All right. Well, thank you for all the staff updates. We will get back to our regularly scheduled agenda. We are at number 8, board comments. I'm going to start at my far left. Commissioner Gilman, do you have anything today?
Nothing new. Thank you.
All right. Vice Chairman Mitchell.
I just wanted to report on a meeting that we had this last week and give out some thanks. We hosted a few people from the Nevada Public Health Institute, which is kind of tied in with the university. And they have been touring around the different counties in the state just to kind of take stock of what the public health situation is in each of the counties And so I just wanted to thank Laura, Stacy, and Eric for being there. It was really, I think, a good opportunity to just take stock of kind of what's going on holistically. I think we get so focused in on things like COVID and these, you know, but it's a little broader topic. And no action items, but certainly, one of the interesting things is Eric had their needs assessment hot off the presses that they had just finished, which is useful in guiding us in our human services area. So that's it.
Nice. Yeah, I received a call from them yesterday. So you guys seem to cover pretty much everything.
Uh-huh.
Good to see.
We were tempted to put him in jail. We met in the Slammer, and
that was
a unique experience for them, I'm sure.
That's always a nice meeting room. I don't have anything that cheery. Unfortunately, Story County lost another resident last week, Bobby Brown. For those who knew him, we'll be missed. And I hate giving these reports, but I think it's important. You know, some folks are pretty well known. Some folks are not as well known, but I think it's important that we, when we can, note a passing of a Story County resident. So anyway, for those that knew him, our condolences. And that is all that I have today. So with that, we will move on to item number 9, which is discussion for possible action. Consideration and possible approval of Story County Proclamation for Flood Awareness Week, which is November 14th through 20th. 2021.
Good morning, Kathy Canfield for the record. And I have with me Carlos Rendo, who's with the public outreach manager for the Division of Water Resources for the state. And so as we've had discussions in the past, flooding is always an issue. And Story County works with the state Division of Water Resources in a lot of different topics that have to do with flooding. They've designated this week as Flood Awareness Week, and there's a lot of information that's available on nevadafloods.org. And so we are asking the board to adopt this proclamation to also recognize Flood Awareness Week.
Thank you for that.
Thank you very much for allowing us to be here. And the Nevada Flood Awareness Week is happening all across Northern Nevada, and from Elko to Douglas County. And it's important for all the counties to come together and cities. And it means a lot that you're taking it into consideration.
Thank you. We'll do public comment and read the proclamation. Is there any public comment regarding Flood Awareness Week? Nothing? Commissioner Gilman, anything about floods?
No questions, thank you.
Mr. Chairman?
Yeah, no, I think it's great for us to join with the surrounding areas. Certainly this is an issue that we deal with. It's one of the emergency preparedness issues that we have to face on both ends of the county and in the middle as well, somewhat. So happy to be part of this.
Agreed. All right. We'll make a motion and then read the proclamation.
Sure. I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve Story County, Nevada's proclamation for recognizing Flood Awareness Week as November 14th through 20th, 2021.
Second.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously.
Want me to read it?
Proclamation.
Okay. So Story County, Nevada proclamation, whereas Story County recognizes the significant threat that flooding poses to our residents, our businesses, the community, the region, and our local economy. And whereas Story County has experienced flood events from the Truckee River, weather events, and flooding of local streams, channels, and creeks. And whereas risk can be reduced and communities can be prepared to be more aware and resilient by educating residents and businesses on actions they can take to prepare for flood events. And whereas during Flood Awareness Week, local, state, and federal agencies are working together across Nevada to inform the public about the dangers of flooding, how to protect their homes and families and businesses from flood event, and plan for recovery. Now, therefore, the Story County Board of County Commissioners does hereby proclaim November 14th through November 20th as Nevada Flood Awareness Week, and urges all citizens to increase their awareness of the risks of floods by visiting www.nevadafloods.org and learn how you can be prepared. And this is dated the 16th day of November 2021.
Thank you. You got a photo op?
Yes, please. This, I should also mention, is one of those boxes we check off for our NFIP, the National Flood Insurance Program, the CRS program. This also helps us with gaining some points.
Awesome.
So yeah, if we could take a quick picture, that would be wonderful.
You hiding that there?
Oh, nice. Thank you.
Thank you for being here. Oh,
thank you, gentlemen.
We'll get started.
All right. Moving right along to item number 10. This is for discussion only. No action will be taken. This is a presentation and discussion by Kristen Vandermolen. I'm sure I have butchered that. Assistant Research Professor, Desert Research Institute on Development, Implementation and Evaluation of Stakeholder-Driven Wildfire Smoke Monitoring and Messaging in Rural Nevada. Laura?
Good morning. For the record, Laura Mather. So I would like to introduce Professor Kristen Vandermolen. She's going to be doing a presentation with her team on this program. And Story County Emergency Management will be working with them through this project as it relates to Story County. We're really looking forward to it. We're looking forward to building that relationship and working with them through this program. Also learning a lot as well. So, it's Kristen.
Great. If you folks don't mind stating your name for the record.
Sure. For the record, Kristen Vandermolen.
Sure. For the record, Danilo Dragoni, Chief of the Bureau of Air Quality Planning for the Nevada Division of Environmental Protection.
Thank you.
Thank you, and good morning. So I'm Kristen Vandermolen, part of the research faculty at the Desert Research Institute in Reno, and I'm here with colleagues from DRI and also the Nevada Division of Environmental Protection to talk to you about a recently funded research project that will allow us to expand the air quality monitoring network in Nevada into select rural counties that experience wildfire smoke impacts. And so Danilo and I are going to present the project to you and also solicit any input that you might have for us and answer any questions as well.
Fantastic.
Right. For the record, Danilo Dragoni, and thank you for providing the opportunity to describe this very exciting project led by DRI in partnership with the NDP and founded by the federal EPA. So I'll give a quick introduction about how we got here. And then I'll let Kristen kind of go into the details of the project. So as you probably are aware, the Clean Air Act and the EPA give a delegation to the NDP for monitoring ambient air quality in Nevada, with the exception of Washoe County and Clark County. So NDP does that with a network of ambient air quality monitors. These monitors are regulatory monitors. So they are, well, expensive. They require a lot of maintenance by professional technicians, and also some level of infrastructure, power, electricity, control environment. So, and as I mentioned, they're quite expensive. We have these monitors located in several areas of Nevada, and the Clean Air Act and EPA are very prescriptive on where these monitors are located. Most of the time in urban center, like Carson City, Gardnerville, Fernley, and most of the time in areas where there are already continuous problems with air quality, like for instance, dust in Portland. So we quickly realized that these monitors are not the proper tool when it comes to wildfire smoke. Wildfire smoke is unpredictable, variable in space and time. Sometimes you drive for a few miles and suddenly you go from sunny sky to choking, right? So NDEP, a few years ago, we started experimenting with kind of a portable monitors, commercial available, very, you know, cheaper, definitely more usable, friendly, usable, easily to be used, to install, and easily to be, you know, the data are sent automatically to a website. This is an example of those. This is a power player, right? It's that it is. You need a wireless. You in 5 minutes you can connect it and start measuring smoke. Of course, there is a trade-off. Being cheap, it means also they are a little bit less reliable than regulatory monitors. They are affected by bias. They need to be proper, installed to be sure that the smoke is measured properly. And so we started again a few years ago some program of kind of testing these monitors, where they can be used. Do they need corrections? Do they need to be some other things that need to be done to improve the quality of these monitors? And so we came to the conclusion that indeed they're very useful when it comes to wildfire smoke, because again, these are cheap. You can buy probably these by maybe $200. And so, you know, they can be bought in bulk. You can place them in several places. And so now you suddenly have a pretty good coverage of areas. So, and you can measure the smoke when it happens in your area. So we decided as NDP, we decided to start it to buy a bunch of them and started a loaning program a couple of years ago, mainly targeted to emergency managers and school districts in rural areas of Nevada. And we were glad when Story County emergency managers, asked us to try and use these sensors. And I believe that now they bought their own sensor. So that this was very great. But there is always room for improvement, right? I mean, what can we do in order to make these sensors even better, right? For our community, for our public. And also these sensors come up with numbers. Numbers are translated in air quality indexes, but also we need to translate those indexes in a message that the public can understand, can relate with. Can I go out shopping? Can I do my football practice? And so there is this process from what these sensors collect to the proper message that need to be refined and, specifically for our areas. And so this is in a nutshell what the project that DRI, NDP, and EPA are, starting right now. And we are very glad that Story County expressed much interest in being a partner with us, together with Elko County and Pershing County. That being said, unless there are questions, I will let Kristen go into the details of the project.
Gentlemen, have any questions?
But the question, so these units measure the smoke quality in the valley and the various areas, and we're monitoring that, is that the goal?
Correct. These monitors may measure PM 2.5, but it's basically particulate matters with a diameter less than 2.5 microns, which is basically the main component of wildfire smoke.
So we all know that we're inundated with a lot of smoke because California doesn't control their fires. And we've had a great deal of smoke this year. So what is the goal in measuring the smoke? Are we looking for some way to mitigate the smoke in the valley? Is there anything we can even do about that till we control California? So what is the goal in the measurement overall?
So the main goal of measurement is to provide timely and accurate information to the public, so that in the absence of any major mitigation that we can do in order to reduce the smoke from wildfires, of course, if we had a way, we would love to do it. But in the absence of these mitigations, the main purpose, the main goal for NDP as a public agency is to provide the most accurate information to the public so they can make decisions about their everyday life. So that's the main scope, the main goal of this project. Unless, Kristen, you want to add something about it? Or?
I'll talk through the three primary activities in the project. The foundational activity is the deployment of air quality monitors in the county, but then the other activities build on that in a way that I think would address some of the concerns that you're raising. So before talking about those three activities, I will mention that the project is fully funded through the Environmental Protection Agency. So there are no costs to the county, though, as Laura mentioned, we would be working very much hand in hand with the County Office of Emergency Management. And that's mostly to ensure that we tailor the project to actual community needs and norms. So the first component of the project is related to the deployment of the air quality monitors at up to 3 to 5 locations within the county. But before we get to the point of deploying the monitors, we first want to test a selection of available air quality monitors, the small portable air quality monitors like Danilo has, to determine which are likely to perform best in the particular environmental conditions of rural Nevada. So which perform best given the extreme aridity of Nevada and things like the frequent dusty conditions that we experience. So to do that, we will first test a selection of sensors in a lab facility at DRI to determine which of those are likely to perform best in rural Nevada counties. And then we will take those that are likely to perform best and actually deploy them, like I said, at up to 3 to 5 locations within the county. And we'll do that in advance of the upcoming 2022 wildfire season so that the monitors are in place to start generating data for the county and the public during that wildfire season. And also so that we can continue to evaluate the performance of those sensors once actually deployed. And our goal there is at the end of the wildfire season and that process of multi-phase evaluation to be able to share not just with participating counties, but with rural counties more broadly, which sensors are best suited for this particular environment. So I will mention too that all of the data generated through the air quality monitoring will be ingested into the EPA AirNow website and mobile app, if you're familiar with those resources. So it will be publicly accessible there. It will also be ingested into a webpage on the Nevada Division of Environmental Protection website and will be publicly accessible there as well. So that's the first activity. So the testing and the deployment of the sensors. The second activity, and I think this is where we shift into some of the concerns that you brought up. The second activity is to develop what we're calling a data interpretation guide. So we don't want to just make data available to the public, but with no accompanying help in interpreting it. We want to make data available to the public, but with a resource that will aid them in interpreting the data. So understanding what it means to have different levels of PM2.5 concentrations, what it means to have different levels of other gaseous pollutants, which we will also be measuring, and how those different levels of pollutants translate into potential health impacts for different sensitive groups, like small children, people who work outdoors, elderly individuals. So that data translation guide will similarly be made publicly available on the Nevada Division of Environmental Protection website in conjunction with the actual data generated. And then the third activity is to develop a series of wildfire smoke risk education and risk communication materials that will be tailored specifically to address knowledge gaps that might exist within this particular public with respect to wildfire smoke risk to human health and ways to mitigate potential smoke impacts to human health. To develop those materials, we would ideally engage with members of the public first through some interviews and then later through a broader survey, again, in an effort to identify knowledge gaps. So things, you know, to kind of assess the state of knowledge. What do people here know about wildfire smoke risks and mitigative measures? And what do they maybe not know about that would be helpful for them to know? And so we will take that information that we generate through that interview and survey process to identify knowledge gaps and then build a series of wildfire smoke risk education and communication materials that address those knowledge gaps specifically. Those materials will be shared with the County Office of Emergency Management, as well as other potentially interested county offices, so that they can be utilized specifically to educate the public on the identified knowledge gaps, and then also to use in messaging the public when there is a wildfire smoke event to ensure that they're aware of it, to maybe direct them to the data resources, and also to make sure that they're informed of mitigation measures that are available to them. So those are, in summary, the three components. Like I said, our intention is to have sensors deployed prior to the upcoming wildfire season so that we can evaluate them during the season. We similarly intend to have that data interpretation guide ready for the upcoming wildfire season, as well as the wildfire smoke risk education and communication materials, so that they can similarly be evaluated. Yeah, so that's the gist of the project, and we're happy to receive any input from you and also answer any questions.
If I may, I'm just curious. So in our community, in our basin here overall, as a layman, there's several layers of pollution. So wildfires, we know, bring the smoke in and out, Mother Nature and the winds and those things. And then there's the pollution factor of industry and automobiles and fireplaces and all the things that we all use here in the basin. And then I know we have a major dust problem within the valley, and we really have to monitor carefully the winds, the dust, and those. Will this unit differentiate between the different levels of pollution, or is it primarily and only the smoke, fire, and those kind of things? So did it have the capability of looking at the other pollution levels?
So we will be deploying, and Danilo, feel free to chime in. Yongsan, also here from DRI, is involved in the testing of the sensors and can also speak to this. But we will deploy sensors that measure PM2.5, and we will also deploy sensors that measure other gaseous pollutants. That are related specifically to wildfire smoke emissions. So our focus is primarily on measuring the pollutants in wildfire smoke. That said, because like you're saying, there can be a lot of dust in the environment, there can be other contaminants in the environment. What we would do is work strategically with the County Office of Emergency Management to identify sites for deployment within the county that are within population centers, but that are in places where there are not high volumes of other contaminants, in order to try and get the cleanest reading possible of the contaminants specifically in the wildfire smoke emissions.
So in a lot of the issues that affect our community overall is we have to apply for air quality permits when we do different things. And there's all the criteria that's fed into the NDEP to evaluate our air quality. Will this system be utilized in assisting in and in involved in the air quality permit and permitting process within the EPA?
Danilo Dragoni, for the record. Right now, it's not our intention to use this project to assist in any way for the permitting. The process that we use at NDP is mainly driven by an application that carries already the information on what will be the impact on the air quality by the applicants. So we are not planning to use this project for, again, to enhance or change the way we do permitting. I mean, open to suggestion, of course. I mean, we are open to any suggestion from the community, but it is not our intention for now. And the main reason is also because, as Kristen said, we are in a kind of a, the project would be also a testing phase, right? We will test these sensors to determine which technique, which methodology, which sensor are the best for the goal of measuring wildfire smoke. So it would be, I think, unfair from NDP perspective to use these sensors for something different.
Thank you. I can see it being a real assist for all of us in analyzing what we want to do and where we want to go. But I think that the quality of information is more important. And that is going to have quite an impact on that.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman?
No, I'm good. Answer my questions. Thank you.
Yeah, I personally don't have any questions either. Obviously, except for one. Those are obviously hooked up to some sort of Wi-Fi signal, all self-contained. Do you guys have to replace those batteries or anything, or are they, how are those powered?
So actually, one of the things that we're doing in this project is, so we will be testing the Purple Air sensors, which are dependent on Wi-Fi for data transmission. But one of the things that we're also doing in this project, because we know that Wi-Fi is not necessarily stable or present throughout rural counties, is also to test similar sensors that are small and portable, but that can be operated independently of Wi-Fi and that use cellular communications instead. And so at each of the sites within the county where we would deploy sensors, there would be about a 4x4 foot footprint that would include what we call a research platform to which the sensors are attached, as well as solar panels to supply energy, and then some of the components of the cellular communication technologies. So it would all be packaged together in about a 4x4 footprint.
Thanks. Well, look forward to you guys launching those. Should be very interesting. I do just want to check if there's anybody here in the public that may have some questions for you. Mr. Thompson?
Mr. Chairman, Ms. Vice Chairman, Mr. Commissioner, Ms. County Manager, Mr. DA, Chris Thompson, Project Manager, Tahoe Reno Industrial Center. First, I would just ask the NDEP rep to carry back that how great our experience has been in working with NDEP on the pipeline project and previously our wastewater and clean water work that we've done. I'd like to follow up on the earlier question, Mr. Chairman, by the commissioner about the how this data is going to be used. And I'd like to ask this team here today, is there any indication or data yet, and will there be, about the relative magnitude of the pollution and impacts from the California smoke versus the vehicle emissions versus the industrial emissions? And is there any way that this data could be used to measure the magnitude there? I think that would be very good data to have and informational about the, you know, where is the impact on the environment coming from? Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. I'll let you answer that, and then I'll check if there's any other questions.
Sure. If I could, I would like to defer on the question to Yong San, a PRI colleague who...
Please.
Thank you.
He's been laying low.
He's been laying low.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you. So this is Yang Guangsheng from DRI. So yeah, there is a way, but it's very complicated because we measure just air in this area, but we cannot differentiate where this smoke came from. But there is a way that so we measure this air quality from here, and then combining with atmospheric modeling tools, a program, so we can check back those smoke from the source. But yeah, that will require a lot of resources to do that.
Thank you. Yes, Chairman.
I would like to add that, of course, I totally agree with what said before, but I would like to point out also that the magnitude of wildfire smoke intensity pollution is much, much higher than anything we usually experience in terms of pollution because of vehicles. In general, last summer, we had measurements that were 100 times more than regular pollution that we experienced in Nevada. Mm-hmm. So the signal from wildfire smoke is huge. And we will not have, well, to some extent, I hope not. But of course, if wildfire happens, we will not have any problem in differentiating when these tools are hit by wildfire smoke and when they're not. So,
yeah, I mean, I think the general concern is that maybe that information could be used not in nefarious ways, but you know, maybe some of this data collection could be used for alternative purposes. And so I think, you know, you've addressed those concerns. I personally don't have any further questions. I think that has covered Mr. Thompson's questions. Is there anybody on Zoom that has any questions or comments? Not seeing any. If you folks don't have anything else, I would greatly thank you for coming up here and look forward to seeing this thing get launched.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you. All right, moving right along to item number 11. This is for discussion of possible action. Appoint a broker of record in accordance with the results from the 2021 request for qualification, RFQ, to provide insurance brokerage, consulting, and risk management services for property, casualty, automobile, cyber, and workers' compensation insurance for Story County for a period of up to 5 years. County manager?
All right, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Austin Osborne for the record. First, before I begin anything, I just want to clarify the difference between insurance and a broker, because sometimes that is confused. So the insurance we have in this regard for casualty, automobile, cyber, workers' compensation, and all that is provided through Pool Pack. Workers' compensation is through the PACT, and then the rest of it is through the insurance pool. And Pool Pack is an agency that works with jurisdictions throughout the state of Nevada, everything from counties and cities to GIDs and school districts, to pool insurance and provide hopefully an affordable and effective insurance plan. In this case, and there are other folks that provide insurance as well. We are with Pool Pack, but there's Travelers, and you can go on and on with different providers or carriers of insurance. So in this case, we have a broker, and the broker is the liaison between the county and Pool Pack or whatever insurance we would have. And they provide services like, you know, claims verification and underwriting and renewal of terms and marketing insurance every year to make sure we're getting the best service for the best dollar. They manage our insurance plan. So we're at this time, A&H has been with the county for quite some time. They are our broker of record at this time. And we felt at this time is necessary. Let's go out to request for qualifications like an RFP and see what else might be out there. Just kind of check it out. So A&H did respond. Also responding was LP Insurance Services, Warren Reed Insurance, and Alpine Insurance. We interviewed, I put a committee together, and our committee re-interviewed the best brokers of response. And we also reviewed all the written material they provided and what they were to provide for the county. At this point, we're recommending A&H Insurance Services. They were found to be aligned with the needs of the county in providing brokerage services. At the same time, LP Insurance Services was also found by the committee to be the next best bidder, and both of them to be very close to each other. I would ask that if this board were to choose whether it's A&H or any other broker, whether the county recommended A&H or someone else, that there be a list of conditions that would go along with that motion. And I'd be happy to read those conditions, Mr. Chairman, if you would like.
Please do.
All right. So regardless of who is chosen today, in accordance with the recommendation by staff and bid results from the 2021 request for qualifications RFQ, I, Commissioner, in this case, would motion to appoint your appointment, the broker record to provide insurance brokerage, consultation, and risk management services for property, casualty, automobile, cyber, and workers' comp insurance to Story County under these conditions. There's four of them. The term of the broker of record be for a period of 1 year. In the RFQ, we said it'll be a 5 year period up to, but in this case, we think that there should be 1 year given. And then at that point, if this board, after a year of service, feels that whoever this broker is doing a fine job and things are looking good, then the board does not have to get an RFQ again. They can simply just continue that service for four additional years. If this board then under number two feels that, you know, thank you for your service, it was really nice, and decided to want to go to the next best bidder, we can reach out to those folks, see if they're still interested, and begin working with them. So that would be number two, the broker record be eligible to continue coverage for service up to those four additional years with board approval. So that means that this board is going to take action in a year regardless of whether this goes great or not. It will not just be an evergreen clause where it renews automatically. The broker is going to demonstrate good faith and effort that involves the county very closely throughout the process to market and bid casualty, automobile, cyber, workers' comp insurance services provided to the county. That means just that the broker is not just going to go out to market, check it out and say, Pool Pack's the one to go with and everything's good. There's going to be an active participation by the county to look at other services that might be out there. Pool Pack might be it, but we would like to see what else exists in the market to make sure we're getting the best service for the best tax dollar. And number four is that the county implements and the broker cooperates with the fiscal year 21-22 fiscal year, a third-party evaluation of the cost and effectiveness of its insurance programs for property, casualty, automobile, cyber, and workers' comp insurance, and furnishes the findings and recommendations of that evaluation to the board within a year of this approval. I think it's pretty self-explanatory, but I'm happy to explain if you would like. So at this point, that's all I have on this. I'm happy to answer any questions about the process we did to come to these findings, as well as any other recommendations this board has for a potential motion and then ultimately your decision.
All right, thank you for that, Austin.
I do want for also A&H Insurance, it looks like is present with us, and I believe there's a representative from LP Insurance with us as well.
All right, why don't we take any comment from those folks if they want to before I check with the public or my fellow commissioners. Does anybody, either one of those companies, want to come up and say anything?
Hi, this is Kayla Woods for the record with A&H Insurance, and I just want to thank you for your public service and thank you for the opportunity. I look forward to serving Story County for the coming year and performing on the items that we had discussed, and I'm excited to be managing the insurance.
Thank you.
Good morning. Good morning, commissioners. I'm Brad Pierce for the record. I too would like to thank you all for the time and effort that went into the rather extensive RFQ. We met with the Insurance Placement Committee, as well as Commissioner Carmona, and some very, very good questions were asked. And I think there was a lot of understanding brought on both sides of the table. And again, we look forward to serving you in the future years. And again, I'd like to thank you for your vote of trust.
Thank you. Before you folks leave, did either one of my fellow commissioners have any questions while they're up here?
No questions.
All right. Thank you very much.
Good morning. For the record, Jared Rossi with LP Insurance Services. And I also want to echo thank you again for this opportunity. It was a pleasure answering your RFP and going through the interview process. I think that we would align very well if chosen. However, I think that we have a very good competition out there as well. But again, just wanted to thank you again for the opportunity to stand in front of you and be considered for this. Thanks again.
Appreciate that. Don't leave. You gentlemen have any questions for him while he's here?
Not specific, thank you.
All right, thank you.
Thank you very much.
You are free to go. Is there any public comment regarding the this item regarding our insurance? Anyone out on Zoom have any questions or comments? Not seeing any. My fellow commissioners, care to deliberate about this?
Yeah, I'd like to share some thoughts. I've spent some time noodling on this project. First of all, I would reach out and thank the committee. I know they spent a lot of time, a lot of effort, and they've looked at a lot of issues. And whatever their recommendations may or may not be, I certainly respect. And with all due respect to the companies that are here, everybody competes and everybody's pretty much on the same level. And probably qualifications work generally in a balance. But I'd like to say that I've been honored to sit at this table for 9 years now. And during those 9 years, we have addressed a number of different challenges with different departments and different consultants and folks. And there have been, in my opinion, a litany of challenges with A&H over those 9 years. And I believe that that we could have had better, stronger, more professional representation than what we've had in the last 9 years. And I can tell you during the last 9 years, I've been an advocate and I've promoted aggressively competitive bidding. Now, I really believe in that. And I think that you get the best quality of service when you compete in this country around us. So I've always been an advocate of that competitive bidding. And I also believe in kind of an old adage of mine that if you don't like your outcome, change your approach. And so it would be my thought here today to deliberate that I would be in favor of changing our county approach at this point. I would like to see us, knowing that we have similar companies, I would like to entertain for the county's benefit someone else in the seat for a period of time. I believe that there could be advantages that come out of that, but certainly we have a better seat to evaluate the services we are receiving. And I can tell you that the services received during the last 9 years have been less than adequate. Okay. So I would suggest we discuss or think about that. I'd like to see us make the change. I don't have any specific relationship with LP or A&H whatsoever. I've just been a commissioner sitting here evaluating and watching the challenges we've had over the last 9 years.
Okay. Appreciate that. Obviously, Vice Chairman and I don't have that luxury.
Understand.
So your opinion is definitely respected. Vice Chairman Mitchell, where are you at?
It's a great question. You know, my understanding is both of the companies performed quite well in the evaluation, to some extent, you know, not being involved in the committee or not having the longevity of experience in working through these things, to some extent, I'd like to hear. I certainly appreciate the input, Lance, and Jay, if you've been involved in this process a little bit, I'd like to hear your input as well. To some extent, I feel less equipped than either of you
sure.
to make an opinion without hearing what your opinion is on it.
Well, I'll start off by saying it was so close that it would almost come down to a pick out of a hat. They were both excellent. I've been in this seat now 3 years. I've had the opportunity to work with, not really work with, but see what A&H has done for us. And I will say, one thing that did impress me was that, nobody's perfect. And they did come at this program and own up to maybe some things that fell short. And I do have some respect for that. Obviously LP came out and made a fantastic presentation again, as did A&H. A&H has created a new position where we will essentially have our own liaison, if you will. That appears to be something that LP already offers. Again, the decision is really difficult. I mean, do we want to give this company another shot? Or do we want to go with a new company, see how things work? Again, the decision is extremely tough because regardless of who we pick, there's a 1 year process where we're going to come back and revisit this. The decision that I've had to mull over is, do we go one more year? Do we give A&H a shot with their new program and their liaison, or do we just say, let's give LP a shot and we can revisit A&H after that? Like I said, I really hate to boil down to you know, picking out of a hat, but it's that difficult of a choice. They really both were the standout folks out of the people that we interviewed. You know, it's I have a very hard time cutting ties with A&H only because, you know, in my 45 years of life, I've asked for forgiveness for my failures, and I've been given a second chance. You know, so like I said, I do find it difficult to not extend that offer to someone else, but we're dealing with the county here. This isn't, you know, my personal business or my personal dealings. You know, that's my take. I mean, I wish I could give you more. I think, you know, like Commissioner Gilman said, you know, he's got a lot more experience with it. There may be a little more that he's been able to see over the years. You know, but that's really what it boils down to. It's a second chance for one, and it's a fresh start for the other. But either one that we go with has a year to basically toe the line, show us that they can produce what they promise.
I really see it as a county opportunity at this moment in time. Mm-hmm. You know, we can kick the can down the road and have another opportunity in a year. But I have been in the same position now over all of these years in watching the support and the professional approach we've all had. So this is not a new business for me. You know, I've believed in changing for some time. And so to be loyal to myself and to share that with you folks, there's an opportunity here. Right. And I am sure both companies are very capable in their market. They've been here a long time. They're probably very, very similar. But right now is a chance for our county to change our approach. And with that, evaluate. And neither one of these companies are going away.
Right.
But I think the county would benefit from a different look at the industry.
I do respect that, Commissioner. We've taken a different approach for a lot of things. Yes. in the last several years. They've bode well for us. You know, and like I said, I mean, it really, but both companies really do stand out. You know, I'd be willing to agree with Commissioner Gilman, you know, if that's the case. I mean, nobody's going anywhere. I don't think a year is going to make or break anybody, you know, but using Commissioner Gilman's logic, I'd be perfectly happy going with LP, trying something new, seeing what happens and seeing the performance. And, you know, if we just are not happy with it, we can go back with A&H.
Quickly and easily.
You know? Mm-hmm.
That would be my position, Jack.
Yes. Yes. Comptroller McCain, is that you?
Yes, it is. Jennifer McCain, Story County Comptroller for the record.
Go ahead.
As the person that will work closely with this insurance company, I felt that it is important that I give a couple of my opinions. Take it how you will. I do agree that both of these companies are so close that it is very hard to choose. I think it's important to mention that although we have had some issues with A&H in the past, Story County also needs to take half of that responsibility, because what I have noticed from where I see, we have just let that slide year after year after year. We are now taking a proactive approach, and I think that that's very important. But it is also important to note that we allowed those things to happen. On that note, by a slim margin, as I could feel that I could work with either one of these companies, a very slim margin, the approach that was brought to the committee and their RFQ that were presented, A&H's was slightly more professional. Having Kayla as a new employee with the company, I feel like she's bringing a fresh outlook that is giving us new professionalism to deal with A&H. So in a way, giving them one more year to show what their changes will bring to us is important. That's all I have to say. If you have any questions, I can elaborate on something or take what I've said and make your decision.
Thank you, Jennifer. Let me check with my fellow commissioners if they have any questions regarding your comment or additional comments. Do you have anything before county manager chimes in?
No.
I don't. Her points are well taken, and she will be working with the whatever agency. But again, if you look back at the history and where we are, and all due respect for Jennifer, I respect her greatly. Now is an opportunity, and an opportunity gained or lost. And so I'm comfortable in where I'm sitting.
And I will admit, Jennifer does bring up a good point. I mean, it's not to point blame solely at one person. It does take two people, and I don't make a habit of pointing it past, you know, commissions, because we all did things we had to do back then. It is what it is. County manager.
All right, Mr. Chairman, Austin Osborne for the record. First, I do want to let you know who is on the committee. Of course, myself, Commissioner Carmona, and our fire chief, Monkar, was on the committee, our HR director, and of course, our comptroller, as we just heard. Everything that's being said today from the three of you to the folks that have spoke, I don't know if the chief has anything he wants to say, but I share all of it. I have experienced in my office in different capacities, various things with both LFP and with A&H. And I would say, again, everything that's being said here, it's razor thin. I'm right on the top here. I can lean either way. Whatever this board wants to do as far as its motion, totally respectable and understandable. But I do want to just, you know, reflect on what's being said here today, that all the, you know, the issues about the county's past and A&H and LP and all these different companies being capable, and the discussion that we all had on the committee when we interviewed all these folks and the questions and concerns that we had. I do think that the interviews were pretty tough. They were not just, you know, 10 questions, see you out the door. They were quite extensive. So I just want to say that for the record, and also for the sake of this conversation, that I respect your decision, whatever you want to do. But I do share all the different sides on this, and that is exactly why the recommendation is one, but it is very close.
Chief Bunker, jump in on this.
I guess Jeremy Longcar for the record. I share a lot of the same sentiments. These were pretty long interviews. I mean, multiple hours we spent there, and we hashed out a lot of things that were said just in this meeting amongst the group as well, not knowing the past. So we're trying to learn that to fix it and solve things for the future. So we did address these, and I think it was made really clear that maybe it wasn't just all one person's fault. It's kind of that two-way street. Maybe there's something that we could have done better to have better services. Maybe our communications were lacking. But not having that intimate detail myself, I looked at it very objectively and just trying to find who could deliver the best service. And I think that County Manager Osborne's recommendation of the one-year trial would fit for anyone. And that gives us that opportunity, whether it's going back to what we've got or looking at new prospective companies come in and broker this, we have that leniency now to look at it and see what services we're getting. Prove it. Show us you're the broker for us. So again, I respect the decision made by the commission here and look forward to moving ahead one way or another. Thank you.
You were supposed to pick something.
Come on back up here to flip the coin for us.
You're more than welcome to. Mm-hmm. Just please state your name again.
Yes. Again, this is Kayla Woods for the record. I'm with A&H Insurance. Commissioner Gilman, I haven't had the pleasure of meeting you in person yet, but I can address your request and say that I am something new. I have been in insurance for about 10 years, but joined the A&H team 2 years ago. And I have also been appointed as the municipality's manager with A&H. With that being said, I have objective goals and plans for our municipality department to move it forward as the county is moving forward, as the pool pact is moving forward, and as alternative markets to the pool pact are moving forward as well. So I think A&H can address the concerns of the board by having something new while also having the experience that A&H has in managing insurance for the county. Thank you.
Thank you. Do you have any questions for her, Commissioner?
No? I don't have questions. No.
Okay. So we do have a couple options here. I mean, do we have the option? Decision needs to be done today for a deadlock.
Mr. Chairman, Austin Osborne for the record. I would say it does for the purpose of we're approaching the fiscal year for pool pact, right. And we do want to go out and take a look at that market. No, we're not right on the edge, but
sure, we're there.
Yeah.
Okay. The other option is Commissioner Gilman, that you make a motion.
I'd be glad to make the motion. Yes.
If Vice Chairman, you know, you're in the middle, and I understand that decision.
Yeah, I don't have a ton of clarity that really pushes me one way or the other on it. And, you know, and certainly, you know, I, as a general rule, I trust our process and our staff, mm-hmm. And the committee that's done the work. And at the same time, I respect the, the feelings that Commissioner Gilman has shared. So
before he does, I mean, literally, it's been repeated multiple times, but this is on the edge of the knife. I mean, it is, it can literally blow either way. But you know, if this is where we're at, Commissioner Gilman, if you're, you know, ready to make a motion, we can do that.
I would move that this board appoint the LP company as our new broker of record for the next year for our Story County.
Okay. You second that, Vice Chairman?
Yes, I'll second that motion. I'm just wondering if we need to include the terms that were asked for.
The conditions that our county manager, I certainly agree that those conditions should be included in that motion.
I would recommend that, yes.
Do we need that read?
Just for the sake of clarity, Austin Osborne for the record, I would recommend that those conditions apply to whoever you choose. And just for the sake of clarity for the motion and for the public, that the whole thing be read. I can read it for you if you want, but it wouldn't hurt to put that all into the motion.
Well, if Keith agrees, I would ask you to read the conditions, since I don't have a copy here, and we will include them in the motion.
I concur with that recommendation.
Thank you.
Page 29.
What's that?
Page 29.
I'm on. I can read them.
Okay. Yeah.
Or,
he wants you.
Okay. Yeah, I'm happy to. So, so those conditions would be the terms of the broker of record. The term of the broker of record will be for a period of 1 year from this approval. The broker of record will be eligible to continue brokerage services for up to 4 additional years with board approval. And the broker demonstrates good faith effort and involves the county closely throughout the process to market and bid casualty, automobile, cyber, and workers' compensation insurance services provided to the county by its insurance carrier. And the county implements and the broker cooperates with the fiscal year 2021-22 fiscal year, a third-party evaluation of the cost and effectiveness of its insurance programs for property, casualty, automobile, cyber, and workers' compensation, and furnishes the findings and recommendations of that evaluation to the board within 1 year from this approval.
And Mr. Chairman, if you don't mind, Austin Osborne, in your motion, when you made a motion, Commissioner Gilman, did you read the actual motion less the 4 conditions?
I don't believe you did. I believe.
I don't have a copy of that.
Just for the record, I'd be happy to, if you would like, Mr. Chairman, I could just read the motion, and then if Commissioner Gilman agrees with that motion.
Sure.
Okay.
Let's do that.
I believe that Commissioner Gilman is motioning in accordance with the recommendations, well, against the recommendations by staff in that case. So in accordance against the recommendations by staff and in accordance with bid results from the 2021 request for qualifications RFQ, I and I heard Commissioner Gilman motion to appoint LP Insurance Services LLC to be the broker of record to provide insurance brokerage consulting and risk management services for property, casualty, automobile, cyber, and workers' compensation insurance for Story County under the following conditions. And of course, Vice Chairman Mitchell read those four conditions.
And I so move. Thank you.
So there's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. I do want to thank both companies greatly for your efforts. As I said, it was a very tough decision, but thank you. All right. Thank you for that, County Manager. Moving right along to item number 12, this discussion for possible action. Consideration and possible approval of Memorandum of Understanding modifying. This is continued, right? Sorry.
Yeah, let me change gears here, Mr. Chairman. The MOU is continued, yes, to December 7th.
Thank you. Moving right along to item number 13, this is discussion for possible action. Consideration and possible approval of Story County Indigent Service Plan designed to meet the requirements of the state of Nevada in accordance with NRS 260.070 and to comply with the Nevada Supreme Court's order in ADKT 411.
Good morning, Commission.
Good morning.
Ann Langer, Story County District Attorney. I'm here to talk a little bit about the Indigent Plan. Uh-oh. Am I echoing?
Nope.
Okay, good. Okay. So as you might remember, I was here on October 5th to talk about our original Indigent Defense Service Plan that was taken to the DIDS board on October 6th. They, at that time, felt that there were some things that needed to be looked at because one of the things that the NRS 260.070 and Supreme Court Rule ADKT 411, one of the things that they've been trying to get away from is using the judiciary to appoint conflict counsel and determine or approve expert fees in the area of criminal cases. As I explained last time, 95% of our cases are actually with the Public Defender's Office. In the years 2019 to 2020, we had 111 cases with the Public Defender. Our overall cases during this time period are ranging somewhere between 220 and 240. The amount of conflict cases we have ranged from 4 cases to 6 cases. So we've had an opportunity to look very closely at the Indigent Service contract since October 5th. I'm really pleased to have worked with Austin Osborne, Judge Harrington, Jennifer McCain, and just recently, Vanessa Stevens. This has been a very long-term project that has been probably going on about 6 months now. So the focus is who is going to be in charge of appointing the conflict counsel and who is going to be in charge of the expert fees. And what we've determined is, at least at this point, we're looking at, it goes through DIDS, but we're looking at a designee to look at these few cases that we have. Originally, Carson City's plan is very similar to ours. Carson City's plan was just passed by their board last week. And the main focus, as I was stating, are the conflicts, who would appoint those, and the expert fees. A lot of the expert fees that we actually have in our criminal cases are $1,000 or less. So those are in our plan under section expenses, section 12. Anything under $1,000 is generally approved and goes forward without it going to either DIDS or a designee. So we're really talking about a possible contract with a designee that would pick the 4 to 6 conflict individuals and the expert fees that really don't happen that often. So with that being said, with a lot of work on both sides, and I do have to thank Ms. Reba for looking at our plan, working with us on our plan, and we did come to the plan that is now before you today, which my understanding through her earlier comments in public comment is that the plan is tomorrow at the DIDS meeting to pass this, and then we would keep you updated on just who would be in charge of the conflicts and picking the expert fees. So with that, I have a few typos that I'd like to correct. One of them, Eagle Eye Osborne caught it under 11.6. And these are just typos. Instead of city, it's county. And under 13B, it was instead of it being sections 10 and 11, it would be sections 11 and 12. I would, I think with all, like I was saying, the time and effort that was put into this, I think we've got a good plan at this point. And at this point, I'd ask for approval of the plan. And if you have any questions, I'm here, as is Ms. Reba, to answer any of them.
Thank you. District Attorney Langer, let us, does Ms. Reba want to chime in before I go to public comment?
Hello, this is Marcy Reba. Just as I said before, thank you so much, Story County, for working on this plan and working with our department as it is currently written. Again, if passed, we will recommend for our board to adopt it. So I am available if you have any questions.
Thank you, Ms. Reba. Is there any public comment regarding this item? Not seeing any public comment. Commissioner Gilman, do you have anything?
I don't. It looks like a good amendment.
Right. Vice Chairman, anything?
Yeah, no, I'm happy that we got this worked out and we'll be compliant.
As am I. Would you entertain a motion then, please?
Yes. Get back to that page. I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve the Story County Indigent Defense Service Plan designed to meet the requirements of the state of Nevada in accordance with NRS 260.070 and to comply with the Nevada Supreme Court's orders in ADKT 411 with two typographical changes, the first in section 11B6, changing state to county, and the second in 13B, changing the reference to sections 11 and 12.
Second that motion.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, DA Langer, for your work on this. Thank you, Ms. Reba. Glad this is all squared away.
Thank you.
Thank you. With that said, we're going to take a short recess. It is 11:23. We will be back here in just over 5 minutes. We'll call it 11:30.